Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, you speak English, sir? Parlo, usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. And we've got our special guest. I talked about him in this last hour. And Rachel Keene with me, conservative mama. Shad Balk joining us now from General Motors, Chevrolet specifically. Shad, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, John. Great to be with you again.
Welcome back. I really appreciate you joining me. And we've had John before. And I was excited to have you come on today. One, because we're going to talk about the Bolt EUV, so I want you to talk a little bit about what that vehicle is. I don't know if you already know this or not, but I own a Chevy Bolt already, a 2020, and I have a first edition EUV on order.
I did know that, and
okay.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Awesome.
No, you're very welcome. I just talked to the last hour about the Bolt and gave a lot of insight on it and so on, and I've learned a ton owning one, which I think really gives me a leg up even in this world where a lot of journalists and folks on TV and radio and so on, I'll be honest, Shad, have no idea when they start talking about electric vehicles, what they do, how they work, the good, the bad, the ugly. And I also know this, and I want to talk to you for just one moment about this. You guys, technology speaking, and I just shared this with Rachel a minute ago. Your EV1, the first EV1 you guys did, was back in, what, 96 to 99? Is that right, Shad?
96 to 2003.
2003. Okay, perfect. 2000. Yeah, that's right, because there was two versions of it, right? There was the early version and the later version. Am I saying that right? Am I thinking correctly?
Exactly right.
Okay.
Almost two generations.
Two generations. So, okay, Brian, this is a side note, but why did we name a car the Bolt when we had the Volt? And anytime I talk about it on air, most people can't distinguish between the two, because when you say Volt or Bolt, to the listener, you can hardly tell the difference.
But that happened to me when you were saying you had a Bolt. I was like, is he saying Bolt or Volt? So I looked up if there was a Bolt. How confused I was.
I guess the question I'm asking, Shad, why didn't we just call it the EV again?
Yeah, I've had so many conversations with my colleagues in marketing about this, and they had the benefit of knowing that Volt with a V was going away eventually,
right.
And so that Bolt would be the standalone name, and it does well. People understand what it is now that they're not going to get confused with Volt.
I agree, and to your point, the Volt is going away.
That's all.
Okay, so one other thing, too, I want to talk about for a moment, and I know this is a little bit out of the not in the Bolt EUV end of things, but I want to talk about technology-wise. You know, Shad, right now I look at you guys and even Tesla to a large extent. When you look at some of the rebates or credits that are out there, you guys right now are at a disadvantage in that world because you've produced and have actually, really invented and done a lot with technology, produced more and sold more electric vehicles to now. Since you've done that, your pool of credits is reduced, and all the companies that didn't sell as many now have a leg up. I, frankly, don't look at that as being fair.
Yeah, it's like we're getting penalized for having a successful electric vehicle, which was the whole purpose of this incentive in the first place.
Yes.
I completely agree with you.
I don't particularly care for that. I'm just being straight up honest, because when people are out shopping right now and thinking, well, maybe I'll buy an electric vehicle, they can go look at one of your competitors, which I, by the way, don't think is as good of a car, because I own one of yours. And I'm not saying that just because you're with me. I did some research before doing it that way and buying the car. And the reality is, Shad, if you go out, in my case, I will not have as many credits, not that I need them, and that's not why I'm buying it, but I won't have as many credits buying an EUV, Bolt EUV, as if I went and bought a Mustang.
Yeah, no, you're right. And that's, part of the solution to that is with the launch of the Bolt EUV, which we're talking about now, and the new Bolt EV, we have dropped the price considerably. In fact, it's about $5,500 less for the new EV compared to the outgoing 21 model year EV.
Which basically makes up for all that anyways, I guess, at the end of the day.
Yeah, but to the point that you were making earlier, the reason we're able to do this is because we've been in this game for so long that we've been able to figure out how to build and assemble these batteries much more efficiently. So we're actually passing on our cost savings directly to the customer.
Which, that's what technology does, and that's what I like, and what I, you know, I'm a capitalist. I want to see technology advance and do the things it needs to do without the government interfering and or, you know, incentivizing and whatever. I mean, I just want buyers to buy based upon having the best product to buy, which I think when you guys now are launching the EUV, the Bolt EUV. So for everybody listening, real quick, make sure I explain this. So the Bolt EV is what I own, which is the, you know, sort of a little small sedan, about the size, Chad, if people maybe to compare it, would be what, a Spark? Is it a little bit bigger than a Spark?
Yeah, a little bit bigger. And it's, with a hatch and, a small sedan.
So a little small sedan. I've got a hatch. And by the way, the car works, I talk about it all the time, Chad. The car works fabulously well. I mean, I own all sorts of things, including a new C8 Corvette. And frankly, the Bolt's as fun a car to drive as anything I own, including the Corvette. And I mean that sincerely. It really is.
Well, just as an aside, we share the same two-car solution in our garage. I have a C8 and a Bolt EV.
So there you go. And I love driving the Bolt. It's just, it's fun. It's fast. It works. All right. So let's get into the Bolt EUV. So for everybody listening, the EUV, and I'll let Shad explain this a little more, it's a little larger vehicle. Correct, Shad?
Yeah, that's correct. So we use the same battery technology and electric drive system that's in the Bolt EV because that has been so well received, and it's performing amazingly. So we took that propulsion system and put it into a little bit larger, what we're calling a crossover-like style and configuration. So it's about 6 inches longer overall. 3 inches of that is in the rear back seat, which, as you know, owning a Bolt EV, that's where it counts the most because the people in the back have plenty of room now, especially with the battery flat against the floor. So, and it's loaded with technology. I mean, we basically listened to what our customers said that they wanted changed in the Bolt EV and put it all into the EUV, things like Super Cruise, which is our hands-free driving technology, panoramic sunroof, heated and ventilated front and rear seats, more room, and a redesigned interior, which both of the cars, the EV and the EUV, get completely new interiors.
By the way, one of the things I will congratulate you guys on, because the only complaint, and I'm literally being honest, Shad, the only complaint I have with my Bolt is I hate the stupid shifter. You guys changed that in the new car.
We sure did. Yeah, we got rid of it. It was just taking up space in the old car. We got rid of it, and now we use a push button and toggle configuration, which just, it makes it, not only does it look much better and it looks much more high tech, it frees up a lot of space.
It does. And the biggest, again, not saying I'm complaining because it's a great car, but it has, I don't know why, I guess just because I've driven for so long and driven normal, you know, non-electric vehicles, and I get the transmission electronic, you know, shifters and such, it's similar in a lot of cars, but the one problem, it's not a problem, but you have to really think about going to neutral in the Bolt. It doesn't just go to neutral. You really have to think through, how am I going to put this in neutral? Am I right?
Yeah, you're right, which is exactly why we solved that issue for you.
Thank you. And I do. And by the way, where that comes into play for everybody listening is a car wash. When you're driving onto the belt of the car wash, you got to go to neutral quickly. You don't have time to dink around and find neutral.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah,
good to know.
That's exactly right.
And that's where I find, Chad, where it's almost like, oh, crap, where's neutral? You know what I mean? Literally, you're like, I got to get this thing going because the car wash is firing up. But no, it is a fabulous vehicle. So talk to us about, you know, launches. When are these things going to be available as far as the EUV, which I think is going to be a hot seller, by the way?
Yeah, you're right. So you mentioned at the top of the show that you put in your reservation for the launch edition Bolt EUV.
Correct.
So we are taking orders. We'll start sending these cars to dealers to sell this summer, so not too far off at all. And that is for both the Bolt EUV and the redesigned Bolt EV. And then also new with both cars is that we are including in the purchase release, we're including the free home installation for level 2 charging.
Right.
And level 2 charging is the faster 240-volt charging system.
Yep.
So that now comes with the vehicles.
Which, you know, depending upon, you know, who you are and what your technical ability and so on, Shad, is probably a $2,000 to $3,500 up, depending upon where you live.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because we get asked that a lot, well, how much are you going to spend? And to be honest, it's going to be a case-by-case basis.
Depends.
Depending on the kind of garage you have set up. Yeah, exactly right.
It really, it does. It depends. Yeah. No, that's great. No, and by the way, great feature. Not feature. I shouldn't say it that way. That's a great spiff. Let me call it that way, because I really think that is.
Yeah, and the whole reasoning behind this is, you know, when we were trying to figure out what is preventing people from making the switch from a gas-powered car to an electric vehicle when they're in the showroom, what is the conversation going on in their head? And this is one of the issues that they don't either understand or they're just worried about: home charging. Where am I going to charge?
Right.
So by including it in the purchase or lease, we're just trying to eliminate that worry entirely from the customer when they're in the showroom.
So when they order that and they go in and handle that, how does the installation, so car shows up, how does the charge station installation work? Do they get to do that on the front side? So the minute they're home, they've now got the ability to charge? Or is it something they got to wait 2-3 weeks to get put in? How's that going to work?
So we have a partner on deck called Qmerit, who they will, when you decide that you want to purchase or lease, they will work with you to get it done as soon as possible. And they will find for you local installers who can do this. So there isn't a large logistical lift. We'll ask you to send a couple of photos of your electrical panel, where you plan to park the car, so that we can do all this planning ahead of time and then come in and just, you know, one fell swoop, take care of it. So it'll vary. I mean, it's hard to say exactly how long it'll take depending on each individual situation. But the idea is that it's something that you can, you know, pretty turnkey, bring your car home. You can at least plug it into a regular household outlet the minute you get home.
Sure.
But our goal is to get this installed for the customers as soon as possible after they have the car.
Oh, it's fabulous. And I guess another question I have for you, and I guess even more on a personal note, is the chip shortage slowing down production of you know, what you guys have going on, either with the car itself, Super Cruise and so on, or is it just your planned, you know, delivery was midsummer no matter what?
Yeah, so we're on track to still deliver in summer. So we don't expect that there will be any delays for any reason for Bolt EUV and the new Bolt EV, which is certainly good news for us.
Battery life, Chad. I know I've done plenty of studying on this. So I know I probably have the answer off the top of my head, but I want to ask you directly. When folks start talking about, you know, lifetime, you know, the battery itself, longevity and so on, what are you seeing on average as a length of time on the battery in the Bolt?
Well, as you've probably seen firsthand, our engineers have over-engineered the battery that's in the Bolt EV. And by that, I mean they've taken extensive measures to make sure that the thermal management system, which is unique to ours, and it's a lot more than what a lot of our competitors do, that it treats that battery perfectly. You know, the battery likes to be at 72 degrees, just like a human does. And so out of the gate, the Bolt EV battery comes with a warranty of 8 years, 100,000 miles, which is pretty hefty.
Yeah, it is.
But to be honest, you know, all the batteries that we've built, they're still in the cars.
Right.
So we fully expect that they're going to outlast the length of the vehicle itself.
By the way, for everybody listening, one of the other additional things that I love about the Bolt, which most people don't understand, Chad, is even if I forget to do my pre-warm-up start through my app, which occasionally I will, even if I forget that, I literally can have a warm interior in the matter of probably, on a cold day here in Colorado, within 3 to 5 minutes, I'm warm inside. Not exaggerating.
Yeah, and that's the idea. I mean, it's interesting. You learn all these tips and tricks on how everything that you do in an EV affects your range in the end. And preconditioning the car, which you were just talking about, where you basically power up the car while it's still plugged in, can allow you to bring your cabin up to its optimal temperature without using its own battery energy stored.
Correct.
So that's one tip. And you're right. I mean, the all the heaters and all of the comfort systems inside the cars are completely designed specifically for this. They're much more efficient than what you'd find in a gas-powered car.
It works fabulous. Again, as Chad, I've said it many, many times. I've owned the car now for a year plus. It is literally the funnest car I have to drive. I'm not exaggerating. And for me, how I use the car, how it functions for me personally, you know, frankly, I've got other vehicles to drive for long trips and things like that. But as we get further down the road and DC charging becomes more and more popular and we have more places to charge, that's going to change and the car will become more mainstream as we go. But for me personally, it's a solid purchase for me. I love the car. I'm buying a second one, or wouldn't be otherwise.
All of that, and also you have no tailpipe emissions. You leave no footprint on the environment.
Exactly. Well, with that, Shad, if somebody wants to order one, what do they do?
The best place to learn more is to visit our website, which is Chevrolet.com/EV.
Okay, perfect. Shad, as always, I appreciate you coming on. Anything else that comes up new at Chevrolet, let me know, sir.
Oh, you got it. We'll be back.
I appreciate it very much. And as you guys know from the last conversation, and I love these guys from GM, don't get me wrong, but every vehicle is leaving a footprint.
Yeah,
there's
that's
no such
true.
Thing.
Yes,
there's no such thing.
True.
So again,
I know. They like to say that.
Yeah, it's marketing and all that. I'm not going to debate all that on air, but no, there is no non-footprint car. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back. Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. Kurt Rogers, who will join me at the top of the hour, by the way. In the meantime, give Kurt a call if you need anything, 720-895-0500.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe, too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where our reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Hey, we just talked new technology with cars and, you know, electric cars, Chevy Bolt, which I own. The other new, not necessarily technology that's out, but new to our area is RoofMax, the ability to rejuvenate your current roof and get another 5, 10, or 15 years out of it. And yes, it's new to us. It's not new to the world, not new to the U.S. Been around for quite some time, 2012 to be exact. So they've been around almost 10 years. But these guys are really in the business of taking care of you, making sure that your roof is in top working order, and on top of that, saving you deductibles and hassle and everything else on down the road with roof replacement. And as we talk about the environment and so on, and as Rachel said earlier, I want to leave the planet better than I left it. Well, what better way to do that than to keep my shingles from going into the dumpster, which then ends up in the landfill, which take years and years and years to degrade. And yeah, in that case, I am for rejuvenating my current roof. And besides the fact, I hate the mess. So give Dave a call today. Get a free roof inspection, 303-710-6916.
Dave Hart with RoofMax in South Aurora started out as a traditional roofer, repairing and replacing asphalt roofs. But he got so tired of the unnecessary waste. The quality of asphalt shingles has declined in recent years, leading to less and less durable roofs. Especially in Colorado, where high altitudes expose your roof to stronger UV rays that damage your shingles, combined with severe spring and summertime storms and more than twice the national average snowfall, you could end up replacing your roof every few years, paying higher and higher insurance costs. Roof rejuvenation from RoofMax offers an alternative to total roof replacement. Just one application of the all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof guaranteed. Because Dave has a background in roofing, he can provide any patches or small repairs your roof may need before applying roof rejuvenation. Call Dave Hart with RoofMax in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916. That's 303-710-6916.
Learn how to create a tax-free income in retirement so you can make your money last. Register now for a free Social Security and Retirement Income Workshop with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. Wednesday, April 28th at Ruth Chris Steakhouse on Bellevue. Dinner included. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/money to reserve your seat.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. By the way, one of my great sponsors on Fix It Radio, Bill Anderson from Arc Electric. I'll mention his name real quick. He's like, hey, these guys are going to partner up with folks to get these charge stations in. I'm in.
Oh,
how,
wow.
how do I get to where I could be one of those guys doing that? Bill's a great guy, by the way. Anything electrical you need,
yeah.
He's your guy. So give Bill a call. He's a great guy. I cannot say that any stronger. Craig in Wheat Ridge, you're up, sir.
Hi, John, Rachel.
Hi.
How we doing?
Oh, I'm presently at the car wash washing my combustion engine
Nice.
Station here right now.
That's all right.
Nice.
We'll take it.
I told John on the break that I wasn't quite there yet for the electric car. I'm not. Maybe at some point, but I still like my car. I'm stuck on it. So.
Well,
it's all right.
John, I don't know if you had a Darwin Award winner.
I did not today. I honestly, with the week, Craig, no, I didn't get that far.
Well, I wanted to nominate. It's unfortunate that the person I'm nominating has now passed away.
Oh.
But the two guys that test drove the Tesla down in Houston crashed it and then lost their life.
Yeah.
It's like one was sitting in the passenger seat, I understand, and one in the rear seat.
I don't know the story. What happened?
They had the car. I guess maybe they thought the car was on autopilot. One was in the passenger seat. One was in the back seat.
No.
And it rounded a corner and, of course, didn't go through the corner because autopilot wasn't on, and it crashed into a tree and killed them.
No.
And burned the car up to like nothing. That's the other thing, by the way, nobody talks about, Craig, is when an electric car has a problem and catches on fire,
it's done.
It takes a very long time to put it out. Yeah, it's done. It's going to burn to the ground.
Yeah.
I read the story out of the Houston TV station, and they said that the fire department attempted to put it out with over 13,000 gallons of water, could not extinguish it. Therefore, they just let it burn, and it burned for 4 hours.
Oh, mm-hmm. My gosh. That's not good.
and what was left of the vehicle after it was towed onto a flatbed, it's probably one of the oddest things you could imagine. One of the tires and wheels was intact. The tire did not burn.
Amazing.
Wow.
That's really amazing all in and of itself, Craig. It was, actually.
Yeah. So, you know, I know everything has its pros and cons, but, you know, when you get in a severe fire in those things,
that's a con.
A definite con. It's like if you're in a helicopter and it's going down.
It's a rock.
It's, yeah.
No, there are cons to
it's
those
over.
Things, and that is one.
Yeah.
And I do believe, Craig, that's one of those things that as time goes by and more technology comes along, even on the firefighting side, you know, I'm sure those are things that even as we speak right now, they're working on to try to figure out how do we keep that from not having to burn for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm not that guy. I don't have those answers.
And the more people you have driving them, the more accidents you're going to have.
Of course.
And, you know, will that start fires? Yeah, it could get a little.
Well, and I will say this in comment to what Rachel just said. If you utilize the car the way it was designed, actually, no, you won't have as many accidents because the car will avoid a lot of those things unless you're a knucklehead and don't turn it on.
Okay. Okay.
Right, Craig?
Well, yeah, I mean, to let two people go out on a test drive by themselves,
yeah.
I don't know if it was the salesman. I didn't read it as one of the salesmen being...
I didn't either.
You know, with anybody unfamiliar with driving electric vehicles, especially with the Tesla, all of your controls are on that screen. And any hesitancy to touch a button at the right point, you know, he put it in autopilot, and I guess it wasn't put in the proper mode, as you said. Without, you know, anybody should not be allowed to take a Tesla out on a test drive by themselves if they're not familiar with that whole system.
Right. Yeah. No, you would think somebody that's selling the Tesla car would be with them at all times. That should just be
I think that's just common sense.
Yeah.
Duh.
Because I wouldn't know the first thing to do if I got into a Tesla and how to drive it. I had no idea.
Really dumb on their part, by the way, but whatever.
Yeah.
And also, wouldn't you kind of be like, hey, like I would be hovering over that thing in case something went wrong. They just completely trusted that. I'm a little bit more like over the top. Like, I'm like, okay, let's see if this car really knows how to do this.
For everybody that's listening, what's created some of this, which I think is a bunch of nonsense because it doesn't need to happen, but COVID creates some of this, you go on your own test drive thing, which is dumb.
Oh, you're right.
COVID created that.
Yeah.
That's true because the last couple test drives I've been on.
By yourself.
They basically hand you the keys, put the plate on the car, and say,
bring it back
in a few minutes.
That's right.
That is true.
That's right. So COVID creates some of this nonsense.
Well, but I mean, most people know how to drive a regular car, but I don't think I'd go
the autopilot's different, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. With an electric car, I would not.
It's different.
Somebody should be with you.
Agree. Craig, as always, I appreciate it. We're going to go to Bill before we take our middle of the road break here. Bill in Lakewood, what's going on, sir?
Hey, what's going on?
Good.
I could be wrong on this, but anyway, I'll throw a couple of things out there.
Sure.
I thought that that Volkswagen had a solar panel on one of their cars at one time.
I think you're correct.
And Hyundai's got something with a solar panel Now, wouldn't that be the solution?
It will be some of a solution, although they won't charge fast enough to really have a lot of merit. That's the problem.
Yeah. The only way this thing really takes off and a lot of people start buying them is convenience. They have
Correct.
It has to be convenient.
Has to be convenient.
And that's
Correct.
The only way it sells. So.
Correct.
Because I drove a Volt once when I was waiting on my car, and I liked the way it drove.
Works great.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah. No, it really does. No, Bill, and no, and by the way, Bill, great comment, and I think he's thinking of. Same as a lot of other folks. Well, if we put enough you put a solar panel roof on it, you know, will that be enough to charge
surrounded
the battery?
In solar panels, so it's just a giant solar panel driving down the road?
And again, that would be a better answer for, you know, from Bill at Arc Electric. I don't think you could put enough solar panels on the car itself
right.
to generate enough power. You know, now, if you're going to let it sit and you're trying to charge while you're at the office and things like that, yeah, you could gain some charge out of it and so on, but it's not going to be enough to keep driving.
Yeah,
and it's not always
sunny
to Charlie's
right.
point.
Like, well, look what happened to Texas.
Right.
With that huge storm, that ice storm. I mean, that shut the state down. That operates almost, like, what, like 40% on solar panels. So.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, hailstorms, snow, any of that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's hard on solar
and
panels.
And if anything was to happen to our electric grid, you know, I'm always wary of that. Especially that China still like, has access to it. That's kind of a red flag to me.
All right, Golden Eagle Financial is coming up next. Al Smith, he'd love to help you out with your financial future, the goals of, and how you get there and stay there. And right now, he's got a great deal. He'll get a $50 gift card if you're a single person meeting with him before May 15th, and a $100 gift card if you're a couple meeting before May 15th. So call, make an appointment, and you'll get that. And there's no obligation, by the way. Just contact Al, see if he's a good fit for you, and go from there. 303-744-1128 or klzradio.com.
Feel good about your retirement with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. You've already done the heavy lifting by setting money aside for retirement all these years. Now you're looking about 10 years ahead and asking, how can I be certain I'll have enough income in retirement? That's where creating a plan becomes vitally important. Al Smith will help you develop a strategy for the money waiting in your 401k or IRA. For the past 16 years, financial advisor Al Smith has specialized in helping his clients make the transition from working to retirement. He will help you make decisions now that will preserve your life savings for the future, like creating a plan to fund a long-term healthcare crisis should that become necessary. You've worked hard for your money. Now let's make sure your money works hard for you. Schedule a free consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
All right, somehow we managed to talk most of the show so far about cars, which I do every Saturday on Drive Radio. But hey, cars are a big thing. It gets us to and fro. And as conservatives, I am one that believes cars give us freedom. Freedom to move about, freedom to go wherever we want, whenever we want. And, same token, you need to make sure that your vehicle is in top working order to do so. I've seen a lot of vehicles in the past few weeks, and I don't know whether it's because folks just didn't do things through COVID or they didn't have the money to do things through COVID or what the deal is, but I've seen a lot of vehicles on the side of the road that frankly should not be there. Don't let that be you. Get your vehicle maintained today. Extreme Auto Repair. Find them at klzradio.com.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right. Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free, so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way, you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
This happens to me far more than I think it should. Hi, this is Richard Beatty, KLZ 560. I will find a word that applies and form an acrostic that becomes a teachable moment. Today's word, boys and girls, is track. Think of it. I invest in Fitbit to track my steps, calories burned, duration, and miles. I track my money and investments, and I track my projects and my progress. I track my thoughts, responsibilities, and my actions, my creative ideas, and my knowledge. T-R-A-C-K. Integrity is the connective tissue between who I am at home, through my work, and in my community. Are you tracking? Track where you go online. KLZradio.com/accountable.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
How's it feel to know we have a president and a vice president who obviously hate America? No other way around that. If you heard the speech, you know it. And we're going to spend a lot of time on the contempt that President Biden and Vice President Harris have for the United States of America.
Breaking news and what to make of it.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, myself and Rachel King, conservative mama. Now, as far as mamas go,
yes,
I will also tell you that one of the great things General Motors has as well, I'm not doing a commercial for them, but just this is just something they have,
yeah,
and it's available in a lot of their vehicles, is they have what they call Teen Driver, if Rachel had kids that were just learning to drive or starting to drive, yeah, she would have the ability as a mom to set all sorts of parameters in the vehicle itself as to what they can and cannot do. I.e., how fast can they go? How loud can the radio be? If they leave a certain section of an area, it would notify you. There's all sorts of things Teen Driver does that if you're a parent and you want to really keep close tabs on what's going on, you can do that through the vehicle itself.
Yeah, and the one thing I probably would like about the electric car is it keeps them close.
As a kid driving it, yes.
Yeah,
it'd be a great kid car, by the way.
Like, I'm going across the country. See you later.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
That ain't going
to
happen.
You have to kind of plan. And
they would have to plan
local.
A mountain trip even. Mm-hmm. That would be the other plus side. Even a trip to Colorado Springs and back, they'd have to do a little bit of planning on.
Okay.
So again, there are some advantages along those
all
lines.
Right.
John and Cheyenne, what's going on, sir?
Hey, John. So let's talk about, right before the break, you were talking about the grid.
Yes.
Now, everybody says the grid can't handle the load that's on it, and they want to increase the load. So let's say the average person uses 300 extra kilowatt hours a month to charge their vehicle.
Right.
Right.
That's going to increase the load on the grid.
Yes.
And where is that power going to come from?
That's what we were talking about during
great
break.
Great question.
Yeah. That is a huge question, and that's what they're questioning right now, is we can't have everybody.
I mean, that's what Tesla and even the CEO of Toyota is saying, John.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit. John, you drive, you say it's an EV, but it's actually a coal-powered vehicle.
Oh, it is. Well, or natural gas, or yeah, whatever. Yeah, in our area. Well, in our area, it's coal and natural gas, yes.
Right, and back east, it'd be oil and natural gas.
Correct.
So, you know, depending on what part. You know, and that's not going to change until people figure out a new form of power generation.
Right.
So true.
Wind and solar are not there yet.
Nope.
I mean, maybe one day somebody will figure out, and solar is way better than it was 10 years ago.
It is.
Price-wise.
Very true.
But you're still not going to generate it. But what's happening, and being in the utility industry in the old days, I kind of know some people still, they're going to start, states are going to start mandating, okay, you got to have a special rate for an electric vehicle. Okay, it's going to be cheaper to charge your electric vehicle, but where's that power going to come from?
Right.
If it costs, say it costs the utility 5 cents a kilowatt hour to generate it and 5 cents a kilowatt hour to transport it from the generation station to your house. Well, that's 10 cents, but they're saying, no, you can only charge 8 cents. Who's going to pay that difference? Is it going to be us as a taxpayer? Is it going to be the government?
Great question.
Which is us as a taxpayer.
Yeah, it is us.
Or
yeah.
Is it going to just, or are they just going to do like they do now and say, okay, we'll give the EV rate a special rate, and we'll just hit the commercial industrial users with a larger charge.
Yeah, but when you phrase it the way you did, John, about how really technically an electric car is fueled by natural gas and coal, I mean that...
For the most part.
Yeah, for the most part. Like, think about that. And you've got the left out there saying they want to shut down the coal industry. So...
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, this doesn't make any sense. The more we start to talk about this now. Really? So unless you have a wind-powered car or a solar-powered car.
Well, and I think what one thing, John, that you may start to see, and this is, again, our great sponsor on Saturday's Arc Electric, I do know this is one of the things that Bill kind of prides himself on. If you want to, quote-unquote, be off the grid, he has the ability at Arc to really set some things up to where literally you could be off the grid through some your own wind generation, solar generation, and so on. Those things now, to your point, John, have gotten so much better than they used to be that you can do some of that now.
Hmm. Right, but the cost is prohibitive unless that is your you're a survivalist, you're a prepper,
right.
Or you're just so in. So there's a congressman out there. I don't know if you've heard of him, Thomas Massie.
Yes.
He's completely off the grid by his own choice at his farm.
Oh, wow.
And he tells these people, and he's a conservative Republican, and he's like, you people don't have a clue about how much it costs to maintain that stuff.
Right.
So say you go completely off the grid, you're going to generate into a battery rack, some kind of huge battery rack, that then is going to convert to AC to charge everything in your house. Well, what do those replacement batteries cost as opposed to, all right, we've talked about it before. What's a replacement battery set up on a Prius? $5,000-$6,000 easy?
Yeah, or more. Hmm. There's or used more. Ones that are less than that, or reconditioned ones that are less. But, yeah, you're right in line, John.
You know, would you buy a reconditioned battery any more than you'd buy a reconditioned alternator?
It would really depend on who that reconditioner is and what kind of a warranty and things they're putting behind it. It to your point, probably not. But again, as technology improves and we get more people in that playing field, maybe.
So here's the thing. And here's the other thing, people. And the guy from Chevy brought it up and it popped in my head. How many of these people are going to go out and buy this car? They're going to get that charging system and they're in an old house that doesn't have room in the panel to add that 240 circuit.
And you heard him say, you know, that's why they're requiring a picture on the front side to really determine if that's even going to happen. You bring up a great point.
Right, because all of a sudden now, Bill at Arc Electric will tell you, he's going to get $3,000 to do a panel upgrade.
Sure.
I haven't heard an electrician do it for less than that.
Well, and John, here's the other thing that could potentially happen in an older home. They could even come in and say, hey, you now have a stove and a dryer running off of that 240-volt system that you have. You know, for us to now charge your car, you're going to have to change the gas in both. Otherwise, we can't get your car charged.
Yeah,
because exactly. That would be some of the alternatives, so, right?
Sure. You're going to get told. The other thing utilities are going to come out with is more time of use rate, where they're
right.
going to say, you want a discount on charging your vehicle, you've got to do it overnight.
Right.
And see, the
metering technology is at the point where they know exactly what was being used.
Right, and see, I don't like that. I don't like that they're watching you in a way. It's more control over to somebody else telling you how far you can drive, what you can drive, all of that stuff.
Well, I don't know about that. With the utilities, they did it as a cost savings. I mean, when I started in the utility industry 30 years ago, I was a meter reader.
Yeah.
I walked up and down the streets in the bad neighborhoods in New York City, going in and out of basements, reading gas meters.
Right.
That technology has just taken that. That's a job of the past. That's something that, you know, so that technology.
And by the way, Bill, real quick, John, Bill said 3,800.
Yeah.
So you were close.
38. Okay.
There you go.
What I'm saying is, and that also depends. Is it just a panel upgrade? Does he need to upgrade his service coming into the house?
Right.
Does he need to then contact you? So, you know, there's all these things that people aren't thinking about. No, we just got to get electric. Now, John, I have a question for you. Have you thought about adding solar to your house to help offset the cost?
Yeah, I'm back to your point. You said earlier, to me, it's not cost effective at this point, John. So, yeah, I thought about it, but it doesn't work out number-wise. No.
You know, and if people would actually sit down and do the math, so before you're saving a dime on electricity, it'll take you 12 years with that solar system on average before you're saving any money to pay for the system you put in.
Yeah.
So when people say, oh, I'm putting solar in to not pay the utility as much, yeah, but you're paying off the system So until that's paid off, you're still paying the same thing or more for electricity.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I mean, I've got a huge wind farm that was built a couple of years ago, and the last snowstorm, it was frozen solid in March. I think I sent you a picture.
Yep, you did.
So wind isn't there yet. Solar's not there yet.
Nope.
We're maxed out on hydro. I mean, you can't really.
Yeah, there's no. Yeah, they're not going to build any more dams to get any more hydro. So now we're down to coal and gas or nuclear.
Coal and nuclear is probably the best way to go. But then you have the
lefties won't let them build it.
But that's a little dangerous, don't you think?
No, not at all.
You don't think it's dangerous?
Not one bit.
You use nuclear energy to fuel a car.
No. We meant for the power plants.
Oh, okay.
No, the power plants. No, doing the power plants.
That would be really dangerous.
Although at some point in time, you know, that could be some technology that down the road you could potentially get to the point where you've got little reactors inside of each car. I have no idea where that's going to go.
Maybe.
We power, you know.
That would be the cleanest.
Star Trek power.
It would be the cleanest. And again, will we ever get there, John? Never say never. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, look at France. I don't know if you looked into this. 77% of their electricity comes from nuclear.
That's right. It's all new. Not all nuclear, but a good portion of it is, yes.
But 77%. And they've never had an accident. And the only accidents was Chernobyl, 3 Mile Island. Those are the two.
And those and are and, one, and both of those, by the way, that, one was a design error, and ours was operator error.
Right. And then you had the one in Japan that was... It wasn't the plant.
No, tsunami killed it.
They had a tidal wave.
Yeah, the tsunami got it.
Or tsunami, took it out. So you have to think of where you're going to put them.
That's right.
I'm driving by. I'm heading to DIA, and I just drove by the old nuclear plant that they converted.
Yeah, we should have that one running. But anyway, that's a side note.
Yeah. Hey, John, Rachel, great
talking
to you guys.
Thanks, man. You too, John. I appreciate it. Always good. Thanks for all of the additions there, guys. Really, really good topic. Bill from Arc Electric, by the way, said, hey, we should just do, you know, a couple of hours down the road on this and really talk about all of these things when it comes to everything you would be required to make all this happen. And Charlie wants me to do that. We will plan here as we get into maybe the first or middle of May. I'll plan a day where we can actually do that. Because, guys, this is fascinating. I know a lot of you really are into this. It's one of those, you know, kind of hot buttons, and the more you know, the more you know.
Yeah.
So we'll do that. American National Insurance is up next. Folks, Paul Leuenberger, love to help you out with all of your insurance needs. Car, boat, RV, motorcycle, ATV, UTV, you name it. He's got it all, and he'll give you a great quote, and they've got a great rebate program as well you need to ask about. 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789. And ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
All right. What am I doing here, Charlie? Which one? A good shop. We're talking cars, by the way. We have a lot today. And they would love to help you out with all of your collision needs, whatever it happens to be. Give them a call today. Three locations to service you. 720-541-7697 or find them at klzradio.com.
You've already been through a collision. Now give yourself the gift of a gorgeous vehicle inside and out. Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop Auto Body continue to earn OE certifications for name brands like Subaru, Ford, and many others so they can get your vehicle back to pre-loss condition with the parts and service recommended by your manufacturer. Now A Good Shop offers full detailing as an add-on service so your vehicle feels like new. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and ask for a full detailing service, including carpet shampooing for the entire interior or trunk, or upgrade to include a ceramic coating that will keep your paint in shiny new condition. Al and his team want to give every customer the wow factor of a vehicle that feels like new. Mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A good shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
John Rush will give you the confidence to grow. Every single one of the businesses coached by John Rush made more money last year, and most of them are either moving into larger facilities or expanding to add new locations, because all of them chose to move forward aggressively rather than letting fear hold them back. John Rush will help you take the emotions out of your decisions, starting with the way you manage your employees. Send him an email now, john@rushtoreason.com.
After more than 58 weeks of 2 weeks to flatten the curve, POLIS has decided to end the statewide dial dictates over our small businesses. Kim Munson here. Friday, Hal Van Herke, owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, explains what getting rid of the dial means for you and for small businesses in Colorado. Dr. Jill Vecchio shares her research on the change to HIPAA regulations and how this affects the security of your medical data. That's Friday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Communication is power. Want to be a better communicator? Check out Liberty Toastmasters. Find more details at KimMunson.com. Toastmasters, where leaders are made.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Man, really, really fast show today. I mean that sincerely. Myself, Rachel King, conservative mama, my head's still spinning. We've been, hour two is over.
Yes.
And we've just really gone by fast.
We've been chatting away here.
Now, I will say this, too, for all of you listening. We will do in the future a full, just one full hour, you know, one full 3 hour, call it a day show, whatever you want, of everything, energy, cars, you name it. We'll figure it out where it'll be me, Rachel, Andy. I'll get Bill from Arc Electric in.
Yeah,
we'll bring some
great
other experts in, and we'll just have a full energy day. I'll plan that out. Charlie's been wanting me to do that for a while because I know a lot of you really find this stuff not only fascinating but intriguing, informative. And again, folks, there's things that, not bragging, but there's just things I've learned owning an electric car that I really feel give us a leg up that most people that don't own one don't know.
Yeah. No, I didn't know a lot of the stuff that you were talking about today. I learned a lot.
Actually. It was very enlightening when I first bought that car a year plus ago, because I've learned so much in the last year. And again, a lot of things that you will not hear in mainstream media. For example, you know, you ask me, what's my range? Well, it depends on the weather.
Right.
It depends.
Yeah.
The colder it gets outside, the less my range is, considerably,
right.
Almost to a third less.
Yeah.
It's okay. A lot.
Yeah, that is I mean, the nice thing, like I said earlier, is it's more of a local thing. You drive around locally.
I will tell you, it's the most convenient car I own because I never go to the gas station.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. I never have to stop and fill up, ever. I do that at night. I plug in.
You just plug in.
Yeah, I get home. I just plug in and away I go.
Yeah. I mean.
So there are, you know, again, depending upon the person, there are advantages. But no.
But if you're doing it
to buy it to save the planet, because there's no such thing.
But yeah, and the fact that, you know, just simplifying things like we did just in the last segment, these cars use electricity, right? And electricity, like we mentioned here, is fueled by coal, natural gas, nuclear energy, hydro energy, and renewables.
Quote unquote.
Quote unquote. So.
Because they're not.
So all these greenies that are like hating on coal, like, and they're driving around in their electric car. Like
they're using one of those
yeah.
sources or a combination of.
Right.
And by the way, no, folks, all of you listening that are greenie that are on the left, they're not all renewables.
Yeah.
Sorry. The grid is not full of renewable energy. First of all, that doesn't exist. Second of all, there's not enough wind and solar to go around to power the grid. So when you drive your Chevy Bolt or your Tesla or your new Mustang or whatever it happens to be, your EV, your electric vehicle, the reality is you're most likely using coal or gas to power that.
Most likely, yes.
One of those two, typically, in this country.
It's the same with oil.
Mm-hmm.
Like they can't stand oil.
But yet they'll wear that, you know, spandex shirt, which
is
all made out of oil.
Everything is oil. Like, you look at anything around us right now, and it's...
We cannot live without it.
Yeah.
We are a society dependent upon oil for everything we do.
So people that want to wipe this stuff out, I don't think that... Do they understand that, John?
No, they do not understand that. Sorry, they're dumb. They don't understand that.
It's like...
From the jacket they wear, to the socks on their feet, to the shoes on their feet... To probably the hair products they're using on their hair, or the makeup they put on,
their phone.
Or the gloves they wear,
right.
Or their phone, or their T-shirt, or I can go down to their underwear.
Everything. I know.
It's in a lot of cases all made out of some sort of oil product.
Yes.
They don't understand any of what I just said.
It.
You know, they show up to a protest in a kayak made of plastic.
So true.
I'm being honest.
And they willingly are happy to be bossed around by people and told what to do by people that are not doing anything they're telling other people to do. It's just, the whole thing is just a hot mess to me.
What's really interesting about all of this is there's not a lefty out there that's on this train that I can't sit and debate, frankly, because I own some of these things and can really talk to it that no one else along their lines can.
Right.
Which gives us a leg up, by the way.
No, so, it's good. It's good to know the products.
You know what? You know what else it is? It's good to be educated on the things that we're actually trying to talk about on a regular basis. So
yes.
We'll come right back. Don't go anywhere, everybody. Sorry. We already did our break, right, Charlie? We did our last break. Josh, you're up next. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, John. I was just thinking about it, and it brings me back. I remember in high school, not too long ago for me, in 2015, but I remember my science teacher at the time. He was a big greenie, and he used to always tell us about how he pays for wind power. And now that I'm actually in the utilities industry, I'm realizing that Xcel was able to con him out of it at probably an extra $20 a month just to say that he got his energy from the wind turbine, you know, even though he lived not too far from the power plant down in Denver.
Yeah, which means that's where his power was coming from, because you know that as well as anybody. You know that better than anybody.
Yep.
Yeah. You're right, and I like the way you said that. And I'm not against Xcel Energy, but, man, they have conned people, and they have gotten on this gravy train, which is exactly what it is, Josh, and they have made buku money off of some of this stuff, when, in fact, these people that think they're getting wind power or solar power are not.
Exactly.
Great point.
Exactly. It's going into the grid, and it's being used probably closest to where it's being generated, which, if you look around Denver, there's not too many wind turbines around here.
And Josh, real quick, why is that? Is that because electrons, you know, flow down a wire just like water does? It's going to go to the first place it comes out. Is that how that works?
Exactly.
Thank you.
From my understanding, it's just like that. Anywhere it gets added onto the grid, at a home, at a power station, anywhere, it's going to go into the grid and get used wherever
you
gets
got
used.
You got it. Josh, thanks. I appreciate it. No, for everybody listening, those power lines are like big water pipes.
Yeah.
Stuff comes in, stuff goes out. And if you're going to tell me that you're buying wind from eastern Colorado when you live a mile from the power plant here in Denver, man, I got something I'd love to sell you.
Yeah, right.
Because you are a lunatic, because no, that isn't happening. So, Rachel, I know you're going to head out because Kurt's going to join us. Thank you.
Oh, it's
been a
my
great
pleasure.
Day.
It's been fun.
It's been a blast.
Yes.
I learned a lot. I know.
I totally did. Yeah, I love it.
Good stuff. All right. Kurt Rogers is going to join us next. Nobody go anywhere. We got a special segment. We're going to talk about Fannie Mae as well. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.